This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
20 minutes in, here's Jovinko's free kick. It's a good one, he scores for Toronto! He's broken the drought! Sebastian Jovinko does what he does best, and it's 1-0. Late stages of the first half now, 2-1, Toronto leading DC United. The crowd coming to life here. Jovinko tries to go 2-for-2 in free kicks. Here it is, and he's got it!
Absolutely sensational finish.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Hey, yeah, happy Monday to you. It is TFC Pitchside coming off a 4-1 win over DC United in front of 26,000 plus at BMO Field Saturday night. Coming up on the show, Dan Riccio, Tom is...
Wow.
Just totally butchered the Greek name, eh?
I had it coming. It's okay. I butcher everyone else's name. You have to butcher mine.
Haven't seen him in practice. Haven't seen him at the game. It's tough to remember sometimes.
Listen. All right? Other people have other things to do. We can't live TFC night and day like you, Dan.
Well, I don't, apparently, and Greg Vanney took notice.
Yeah,
we'll get
right
to that in just a bit. But TFC getting the big win. Jovinko scores the hat trick. Marky Delgado adds another. And it's the response that you all wanted to see from your Reds here at home to begin a four-game homestand and a stretch that TFC absolutely needs to bag another 6-7 points at the very least, you would think. From that perspective, they need to start climbing the Eastern standings. But we'll get to all that. We'll get to St. Ricketts. We'll get to Gordon Munson talking some Real Salt Lake. He has an interesting story to tell. That'll come later in the show as well, and we'll do our MLS Minute. But let's get into the game, Thomas. And you heard the call on Sportsnet from Jerry Dobson and Paul Dolan. A couple of beauty free kicks from Sebastian Jovinko. The first one is fantastic. It's prime Jovinko zone, you might say. The second one, not so much on the other side of the field, but he goes against the grain and fools Travis Wora.
Yeah, on that second one, he really fooled him, because if you're covering a spot as a keeper and you get beat over your head on that exact same spot, ooh, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, and Wora probably had nightmares all weekend.
It was literally man against boy, and I know Jovinko kind of looks like a boy, but he's the man in this one. You could see the keeper, Travis Wora. He didn't line up his wall properly. That's why he went flailing. He looked like if I was in net facing Jovinko on a free kick, that's how someone like us in beer leagues would look like. And he's a professional.
I'm going to name drop right now. I was talking to Terry Dunfield at halftime about the free kicks and asked him if he thought they were a little bit on Wora or if it was just Jovinko being brilliant. He said, the first one's great. It's prime Jovinko zone. For a right-footed player, that's exactly where you want to take it from. The second one, he could see Wora had a bit of the eyes, he said.
Oh, yeah. He had him in his pocket.
Yeah.
He had him in his pocket. He had Jared Jeffrey in his pocket, who we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It's vintage Jovinko. And I just want to say, because the TFC fan base goes crazy, they're just driven on emotions, and that's what fans do. It's never going to be as good as it was on Saturday, but it's not going to be as bad as it was in San Jose. You have to find something in the middle. So be happy. Stop holding. Did you see that one guy? I don't know what his name is on Twitter. About still calling for Vanney to get the sack.
South End Red, yes. He will not give that up. And we'll get to him, as he has a lot of Alex Bono takes too. And we'll
Soccer's
get to
supposed
Bono
to be fun.
But want to point you out to at Dan Riccio 590 on Twitter. I did tweet out a video of Sebastian Jovinko's first free kick goal. I tweeted out a video from Teddy. He had a great shot of Javinko's first free kick goal. And also producer Emil Delich tweeted out a picture from my account as well, at DanRacho590, where you can see Javinko giving War the eyes and looking exactly to the spot that he wants to take it at. And Vanny even mentioned it post-game, where he thought that this is something Javinko might do. He felt opposing keepers were cheating a little bit, guessing where Javinko was going to take the ball. And he thought maybe that if Javinko goes against the grain, that might help in a situation like that.
From a player to a goalkeeper to do that, that's a player giving the goalkeeper the big F you on that one. That's exactly what that is. That's like, you're covering there, I'm coming there.
Yeah, and so TFC get the first goal in the 20th minute, 21st minute, whichever it was. And not much long later, like a few minutes later, they are level as DC United throws TFC a Jeffrey.
When the world lifts you a Jeffrey, stroke the furry wall.
Thank you, Aldous Snow. Yes, I could not stop thinking about this song on Saturday night after Jeffrey scored.
I saw you tweet something, and I got it right away. Oh, but you're saying that a lot of people didn't get it.
No, apparently a lot of TFC fans never watched Get Him to the Greek. Like, it's great. That whole scene with the Jeffrey.
And the furry
wall. It's unbelievable. And the furry wall. If you were to change this song and change the lyrics a little bit, it would be, when DC United throws you a Jeffrey, you score three more goals in response, right? That's what TFC did.
I want to know how long you worked on that. That's right off the cuff?
No, I tweeted that on Saturday night. I thought about it during the game.
For an hour.
Yeah, probably, at least. DC threw TFC a Jeffrey. He scores a goal, and let's actually hear from Greg Vanney, because this is not something that is new to TFC. It was, by my count, the fourth goal they've given up within 5 minutes of scoring one. Two of them came against Vancouver in that 4-3 madness of a game at BMO Field. The other one came against Seattle a couple of weeks ago, and then there's this one for DC United. We'll get your thought, but let's hear from Greg Vanney first.
Yeah, I don't think today was a lapse of concentration. I think today was we got overextended trying to be aggressive defensively. The response from the group was to try to get aggressive, to try to let's put the other team under pressure. Kind of like we start the game with sort of a little bit of a forward-thinking idea. I don't think it was a lack of concentration. I thought we got overextended trying to press a couple things that we couldn't get to.
So, Greg Vanney, we didn't play the full clip there, but he repeats himself a couple of times
to
let you know that he doesn't think it's like the Seattle situation, where he felt that was a bit of them switching off, whereas this was just poor execution on the entire play.
Yeah, for me, it just looked like they started off great, and I think they just took their foot off the gas kind of...
Momentarily?
Yeah, momentarily. Because, you know, they dictated the pace of the game throughout it, and it was just, they got burned, it was bad. I have to say Drew Moore was kind of a fault for that.
He got totally burned by the slightest of touches from Lloyd Sam.
And, you know, as a defender, if you go to ground, that's it, right? Yep. So it's the last thing you want to do, and he did it a little bit too early. Can't fault Alex Bono on that one. He's in all alone.
Is it a worry, though, that they're giving up these goals within quick succession of scoring one?
It is a worry, and it's not only a worry that TFC fans and the teams has had only in this season. This is an ongoing theme with TFC. We see it all time and time again from the bad old days.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're very quick to concede after scoring, but it was good to see that, yes, they were thrown a Jeffrey.
Yes.
And they took advantage of it.
Yeah. They when life throws you a Jeffrey, you score three more.
Jared Jeffrey should have been sent off.
Oh,
a
yeah.
A couple
he was,
times. He was
the hero, and like he was a brief hero for DC United, but he was also a goat because he concedes the foul on both Javinko free kick goals.
Well, the second free kick goal that he conceded the foul, he was looking at the official going, what? And it's like, you slid with two legs and you chopped them in half.
I think Villarreal was probably saying, you kicked him in the shin. Do you want a yellow card here? Like, I could give you one. But it's good that also the referee, not a big talking point in this match, as he shouldn't have been, because DC United's not a very good team. at TFC, even without Will Johnson and Michael Bradley, should be able to handle a team like DC United.
They're kind of goons.
Yeah.
With Marcelo Sarvas as well and Jared Jeffrey. They're goons, the Bash brothers.
Sarvas, the annual leader in fouls conceded and fouls won on a yearly basis in MLS. The second goal for TFC, though, this is why you you get excited a little bit.
Yes.
When you watch TFC sometimes, because they can have a complete team goal like this. Almost everybody, it seemed, on the field touched the ball at one point, and they finally filter it back through to Jovinko, through Jay Chapman, and through Jordan Hamilton, who plays a nice little dummy a la Mario Lemieux, 2002 Olympics, to get the ball through to Jovinko, who hits the post. And Delgado does a great job of following up the play.
Right there. The three things on that play. The dummy by Hamilton, the timing to have that with Giovinco, to know that, yeah, we're on the same wavelength. Great to see, because they're doing good things in training. Jay Chapman spin.
He had a great game.
Great game, great move. That's what basically, effectively for me, led to the goal, was that spin off his defender. And Marky Delgado, I mean, he takes some crap from Giovinco a lot. More so than the next fellow.
Hey, Jovinko is like the first one there to congratulate him on the goal there. We got a nice little photo from producer Emil Delich.
Well, he better, because he followed it up like he should and scored. He better get some love for Jovinko. Yeah, he gets a lot of hate.
I lied. Jovinko was one of the last ones there.
Yes.
He was still on the ground after hitting the post.
He actually hit the ground because he was so mad.
He slapped the ground that he didn't score, I guess. But he was there and gave Marky a nice little hug and a handshake for following up the play that he should have. Should mention that Jovinko is in the MLS Team of the Week this week for his hat trick performance. The fourth goal, it's funny that it ends up back towards Jovinko because he tries to play through Ricketts and Altidore, and eventually the ball gets to Mark Bloom, who puts in a nice little cross with his left peg. His weak foot, might I add.
First touch of the game.
To get back to Jovinko. Another great team goal there from TFC, who, look, with Ricketts, Altidore, and Jovinko on the field for that last 20 minutes, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I want to say the unsung hero in that game was Tsubasa Endo. He played great the whole game. He pushed the pace. He's doing really good things moving the ball forward, and his development is actually looking better and better. More so than Mobabuli.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of players you can point out and say they didn't have a good game. You can point at Drew Moore, maybe, didn't do the best on that goal that DC scored. But you heard from Vanny in the clip as well that there's a couple of other players that you could point out. But this was a good team game.
And
you might say it's one of the best TFC performances in recent memory. I would say the 5-0 over Orlando last year is probably the best game under Greg Vanney that they've had still to this day. But this is up there. Under Greg Vanney, under this regime, this is top three.
Yeah, and TFC fans and media and everyone who followed TFC, we're not going to see this game in and game out. This is the best of the best. But TFC fans need to hope that you're going to see more of these type of performances.
Rather than the one in San Jose.
Yes.
But I think that factors into the story here. Like, nobody's saying San Jose was awful. It was terrible. And we talked to Vanny about it. He mentioned embarrassed, ashamed, all those words. But it's also part of the story now that this team bounced back so well from this. And we're going to get to this a little bit more after we talked to St. Ricketts. But to see the team respond for their coach the way that they did tells me that the team kind of believes in Greg Vanny right now.
Yeah, 1-0 result would have been great. A win's a win, but the fact that they popped 4 at home and ran the field, with DC United, they controlled from top to bottom, and it's well-deserved by Greg Vanney.
And we'll get back to this, but first, we do want to speak with the newest member of Toronto FC here on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio, he's Thomas Michalakos, and it's Tsaint Ricketts joining us now on TFC Pitchside. Hey, Tsaint, thanks for doing this so much. Congratulations on the big debut.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. And thanks for having me.
So take us through your emotions as I know in your post-game interview, maybe not all of our listeners have heard it, but it must have been a wild ride for you, especially from the time the national anthems hit at BMO.
Oh, yeah. That's when it really sunk in exactly where I signed up to play for. And it was I felt a lot of emotions during the national anthem to actually be playing for a club team in the country I love so much and the country I fight for with the national team. It was a very emotional moment for me.
Well, why did it take so long for the worst kept secret in MLS history to post? Everyone knew you were around. Everyone would see you here. There would be Ricketts sightings from left to right. Why did it take so long, and how was it for you as a player just sitting on the sidelines training?
Actually, it wasn't as bad as you would think, having to wait. I got here around March, and straight away, TFC and the whole organization, they welcomed me in, and they were great for me from day one. They had people staying in after training to work with me one-on-one. They were very patient with me, and that was really nice to have, you know, especially coming back home, not knowing what my situation would be. But this all basically happened because of the way it ended with my ex-club in Turkey. I had to leave due to a non-payment, and there's a lot of process that comes along with that. And basically, we're working through the process to get to this point.
Now, I don't want to bring up bad memories of life in Turkey, because if they weren't paying me, I wouldn't want to come to work. So what was that like for you to be going to training, this and that, and just not getting paid? And how long was the longest you had to wait?
Basically, they're playing catch up from day one. The first payment was on time, of course, just to keep good faith. But after that, it was basically they're waiting as long as they could before a player could take action to terminate the contract. Then they would make a small payments here and there. But to play under those conditions is very tough. Like, you go into training, you go into games, and you want to give everything for a team that you love and a team that has your back, but you just don't feel that, or I didn't feel that for my ex-club. So I guess personally you want to do the best for yourself, but mentally it's a battle.
Yeah, it's not like paying your credit card bills. They always come knocking when they need to pay.
Exactly.
For sure. But what was the holdup in terms of the international transfer certificate? Do you think your ex-club was kind of holding it back to kind of just upset you a little bit more if it hadn't been done already?
I mean, I heard a couple things. From the lawyer I was dealing with there, he said that most teams delay the ITC or the international transfer certificate just to delay the payments that they'll have to make to me in the future. So basically doing this, they gained like 2 or 3 months more than like what they would have had to pay me my full contract out once the case is settled. So I heard that, but I also heard from some other people that they're just being malicious, you know?
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound like anything in good faith to me of us.
He's not going back to Turkey for a long time.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I had enough time there.
Yeah, to Sade Ricketts joining us here on TFC Pitch Side. So let's move on to more positive things, and that's as soon as you come on the field, it was like guns a-blazing. Everybody's getting chances. You and Altidor taking shots at goal. You hit the post there. Greg Vanney even said maybe you started celebrating a little bit too early.
I was already running to the bench. No, but I mean, I thought I did everything right. I took my time. I absorbed the pressure, and I looked, picked my spot up. But unfortunately, I hit the post. And next time, it's going in for sure. But to be put in there with Josie coming in right after me, it was very electric and it was very exciting.
Here's the thing: watching you guys play together, first time on the pitch, the three of you, Giovinco, Altidor, and yourself. It looked like you guys had chemistry. Like, you guys have you only been training with the three of you? Like, it seemed effortless. The chemistry was there. How long have you been on the pitch doing this thing with the guys?
Honestly, with that combination, because, you know, Josie is working his way back into full training. And being, due to my situation, I wasn't really getting much time to train with Seba as he would be with the starting lineup whenever we ran through games and stuff. So not as much as you would think. But honestly, to play with a player like Seba and Josie, it won't take much because they're great players and they have the vision to pick out the runs that I would make. So honestly, it just came natural.
And you make those runs, and immediately as soon as you come on the field, you can tell the difference that you make. You make runs, and that pace that you have, it just provides a different element to this team. Is it something that you just know if you make those runs, Seba is probably going to find you, and he did on a couple of occasions?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's like what I specialize in. I'm a very pacey player, and I like to attack the channels and make those deep runs and get defenders dragged out, which will not only benefit me, but it'll benefit the players around me because I'll make space for them. And so, yeah, as soon as Seba got the ball and got turned, I was looking for the channels. And if he didn't find me, at least it would open up space for him to attack.
Now, I'm looking here at your career statistics, and you played in Finland, Romania, Norway, Turkey, which we've had is bad terms, so we won't talk about that anymore, and Israel. What drew you back to come to Canada to play in the MLS in North America?
Well, I mean, a lot of those countries, they were great in their own way. And I'm completely grateful for all those clubs that I've played for as they made me grow as a player and helped my career out in different ways. But that last situation I went through in Turkey was kind of like the final straw for me. And I just wanted some stable grounds, and I knew I would find it here in Canada. I didn't know where, and I'm just so grateful that Toronto opened their doors to me, and they were great with me from day one, and I'm very appreciative of that.
So all in a quick succession, you join MLS, De Jong joins MLS, David Edgar joins MLS. What's with the influx of Canadian internationals coming back here? We're even seeing Marcus Haber's name popping up in rumors and stuff. Are you guys all coordinating to come back to Major League Soccer?
Yeah, actually, a month ago we had a team meeting, and we're like, okay, let's do it now. let's get it done.
Let's do it.
Actually, I didn't even know. I found out like a couple of weeks before Edgar signed that he was going to Vancouver, that he was thinking about it. So it's honestly just coincidence. A lot of people's contracts ended this summer, and you know, what better place to come back than back home? The MLS it's a great league. You see the type of players coming in here. The level's great. The conditions are the best I've ever experienced in my life. And it's just a good place to be for us.
Does it not speak to the league and how much it's grown now? This is its 21st season, and the quality is there now, and you're seeing the fans start to take to it as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention the supporters. They're fantastic as well. It's like, honestly, the amount that has grown in the short period of time, it's amazing. And it's exciting to see what's going to come in the future of this league.
So you came on, you had three shots as soon as you came on. You were only on the field for 20 minutes. I mean, is that what we should expect as soon as you come on? Or if you're starting games, 5-6 shots on net right away?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I'm just going to keep working, you know, and especially just working for the team. You know, I did a lot going forward, but I could probably have done a little bit more coming back as well. But that will come with fitness, you know, match fitness. I'm not going to lie. I was dead tired at the end of the 20 minutes, just being honest, but that's normal. I haven't had a full team game since the national team camp, I think a month back, but you know, just more consistent games, more consistent minutes at that tempo and at that intensity will get me there. And I think it's only going to be up from here.
Speaking of the national team, are you getting excited for traveling to Honduras?
I'm trying to put that nightmare behind me. Last time I was there, and just kind of rewrite that page that happened there. But we're very excited. The whole team's excited, and the team is also in a good place. And I think we'll get the job done.
We're all excited, especially as Canadians, to see you guys progress further for sure. One last one for me to say, and I'm thinking about the game situation. You guys are up 3-1 when you come onto the pitch, and we know Greg Vanney's going to use you in a lot of different ways. But as soon as you came on, the game really stretched, and DC was going for a goal. Is that almost a perfect situation for you where you can get on the counterattack and use that pace that you have?
Oh yeah, no, that was prime. That was a prime situation to come on, especially for my debut, my first game. DC was down, you know, they're really pushing to just pretty much salvage anything of the match, and that would in turn opened up a lot of space for the counterattacks, open up space just like on just basically just getting forward. And that was the prime conditions, and I know I wish I would have put that one away, but it'll be there next time for sure.
Well, we know that you had a great time in your debut. We had a lot of fun watching it, and certainly a lot of TFC fans have reached out to me to say how much fun it was watching you, Josie, and Seba do some work on DC late in that game. And our producer, Emil Delich, she actually caught a few nice photos of you down on pitch side. So if you ever need a good photo, our producer's right around the corner to get some from him.
Excellent, excellent.
Thanks so much for this, Toussaint.
Thank you very much.
And there he is. And you can follow him at Toussaint Ricketts on the Twitterverse. And good to see that a Canadian international now back playing for TFC. And just somebody that has glowing words for MLS. The thing that stuck out to me the most, and he played in some of the lesser lights of Europe for sure. Nobody's going to deny that. But to say that these are the best conditions he's ever played in, I think that's one of the lures about MLS that people don't always think about.
Yeah, it's
good training conditions. You're going to get paid on time. All these different types of things.
Part of me thinks that the biggest reason was the guaranteed paycheck. That, you know, in North America, we don't fool around with paychecks and labor.
At the same time, like, one thing I've noticed whenever a new player comes to TFC, the first thing he mentions is how amazing KTG is.
Yeah.
The Kia training ground. And this is, and you even hear it from guys that are just visiting or whatever, or teams that might come here for a quick stop on their summer tour, as we've seen before. They all speak glowingly about how well the Kia training grounds are run. Speaking of the Kia training grounds, I'm going to get your take on this, Thomas, because I asked Greg Vanney a question, and thanks again to Toussaint Ricketts. I asked Greg Vanney a question on Saturday night after the game.
As you always do.
And I said to him, did you feel like the players were going to put in a big performance from the way that they trained this week? Now, I didn't end up at the Kia training grounds. We were represented by producer Emil Delich last Thursday, but I did not make my way down there. So here's Greg Vanney's answer, and I kind of felt like he was taking a bit of a shot at me.
I did, because I thought we had an excellent week of training, and I said that to everyone who came out to from the media this week, that the guys were, we were all embarrassed and ashamed at giving away what could have been 3 points, but for sure one, giving away that goal. We all sort of felt very ashamed about it. So the guys showed up at training on this week and really put it in. We worked through some tactical things and they were locked in, and I thought we were sharp all week in training. And that was one of the last messages to the group, is let's respond for ourselves and for our fans from last week, and let's make sure that we come out with the right urgency right from the start. And I thought we did that.
So do you think Vanney was taking a subtle little shot at me?
Absolutely. I don't think your head's too big right now. Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be the new Swift Kanye Twitter war that's going to havoc on society.
It's a media fail of the week. I'm the media fail of the week this week. And I should have, I had a lot of different things pop up last week. I'm not going to make excuses. I should have made it a point. After Greg Vanney was so gracious with his time last week here on TFC Pitchside, I should have made it a point at least make it to TFC training.
Stop
at some
kicking.
Point last week.
First of all, I'm surprised I can even fit into this room here right now with your heads being so big. The number one, you have a life, you have a job, you have a career, you have a family. Sometimes
this
you're not going to make
it.
This
is part of my career. Yes.
Jeez. My God, the guilt I feel.
I know I don't get paid to go to TFC training, but
yes.
I still should have been there.
You think, Rick?
It's a respect thing. He did it for us on his day off. I should have.
While he was sitting at home. He was sitting at home and called in. Yeah.
All right.
If that's okay.
Okay.
You think Ricketts...
Tell me how you feel about that.
...would go knowing that he wasn't getting paid? Hell no. He's already been through that.
All right. So we'll leave it at that. We'll let the listeners of the show, at DanRicho590, you can let us know if you think Greg Vanney was taking a subtle shot at me for not being a training last week.
And
you
can
gotta grow up.
And you can let us know if Dan's head is a little bit too big right now.
That's also possible. One last thing before we get to our next segment. I know we're light on time or tight on time, but Alex Bono, we have to get to him. And he was good on Saturday. I don't think anybody's saying that he's been perfect. Certainly the goal in San Jose is going to sting for a lot of people. It's going to kind of dig at TFC fans. They're never really going to forget it. Not for quite some time, but for a backup goalie, he's a rookie, not perfect, makes some fundamental mistakes, but to me, he's showing that he has the tools to be a quality goalkeeper in MLS.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, because I saw this too, and I'm going to call it out because I don't like it.
There's a big thread on Twitter about this.
I didn't know when TFC fans thought that, you know, the second keeper is Gianluigi Buffon. Do you really expect a finished product at 22 years old? This is his first time playing in the regular season. He had a howler that destroys a keeper's confidence, but it was actually nice to see that Vanny stuck with him, because that would have killed him even more if he got pulled, because everyone would know what it was for.
Yeah.
So come on, lay off Alex Bono. Just lay off.
And I wanted to make a point of playing this because Bono was asked this after the game about Greg Vanny sticking with him.
It's great to have the backing of the manager and to have him put his confidence in me, you know, week after week, even after making a mistake last week. And it's my job as a goalkeeper to bounce back and show him that he's making the right decision. I don't think he'll have any complaints about the game today. So hopefully we'll just keep moving on up.
And one thing Vanny said that stuck out to me in the post-game presser, he said, the guy helped us win a trophy, being the Canadian championship. Yeah. And I'm just going to turn on him the minute he makes a big mistake. What kind of message does that send to the rest of the players on the pitch and on the bench?
Well, who's behind him that could just step up?
Q.
Another pretty much rookie.
Yeah.
So what do you want?
Yeah, neither of them are going to be great. But Bono, like, let's not forget, Bono made several big stops in this match, especially the one right before halftime. I mean, if he doesn't make that stop, they go into halftime 3-2. It's a bit different.
He also got lucky on a cross that went by. Like, if we're going to nitpick, of course,
he's not perfect.
Yeah, he's not perfect, but that's what you're going to get for the time.
He's not Manny Neuer.
Yeah, for the time being, that's what you're going to get, and he can do the job, but you have to stick with a goalkeeper because it weighs on their confidence. Yeah. Everything weighs on their confidence. It's all about confidence as a keeper. Mental. Your mental state. And TFC fans are driving him crazy.
Yeah. And so Seba scores the hat trick. He gets the two free kick goals. And I was talking to Bono about this after the game. What he would have to do, or how he would feel if he played against Seba.
I don't know what I'd do if I ever had to leave Toronto and come back and play against him, you know. But it's just a pleasure. It's such a pleasure being in training with a guy of that caliber, just being able to learn from him. Obviously, the experience that he and a few of the other guys on our team have in the top European leagues with top European teams is something that you just kind of got to pick their brain at lunch or at breakfast and try and talk to them as much as you can just to get a feel for the experience and the real quality that they have.
I'm not buying that answer. I know he has a notepad, and in training, when he sees his characteristics, he knows how he moves. He has a notepad.
Yeah, and look, Clint Irwin is still the number one goalie on this team. Bono's not winning that job. But again, he's showing tools that say he can be a good goalkeeper in MLS. All of us Canadians want to see Q get a chance. I understand that.
Yeah, you think it's an American-Canadian thing?
I don't think so. I think Vanny's going with the guy that he feels gives them the best chance.
Not with the team, because that would be foolish.
With
fans, yeah. Do you think it's like, let the Canadian in?
I definitely think that's part of it. Bono hasn't been fantastic. He hasn't been as poor as some people are making it out to be on Twitter.
And Q has been here for a while and he hasn't gotten
He's had two bad moments, the goal in Orlando and certainly the goal in San Jose. He's been pretty good, though, for a lot of the time with TFC as well. And again, helped them win a trophy already this year. Dan Rachel, Thomas Michalakos. When we come back, we're going to talk to Gordon Munson from the Salt Lake Tribune, and we'll do our MLS Minute as TFC get a big win 4-1 over a crappy DC United side. I'm not pulling any punches on that. This is TFC Pitch Side.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef.
Toronto FC is taking on DC United, still in the first half of play and plenty of action. Joining us live with the latest, our own Dan Riccio. Dan?
Yeah, man, I can hardly hear you, but TNT has scored their third goal of the match, second cutting off the foot. Sebastian Domingo, who breaks his eight-game goalless drought and his free kick drought in 2016. Both of his goals have come from free kicks, and they have both been absolutely beautiful. Marco Delgado has the other for TNT, and they lead it 3-1 in the 40th minute here at BMO Field. Ben?
Shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, Stephen Baser, defender for Toronto FC. You're listening to TFC Pitside.
Barrios into the penalty area. The leading scorer. Six goals. Ulloa, drive from distance. Oh, what a rocket! What a rocket from Victor Ulloa, and it's all square here. The league leaders have bitten back with a beauty. It's just like
that as we proceed. And we out here, luxurious limoncellos will be bout here. Tahiti violet vibrations, no doubt here.
Maybe goal of the week in MLS in the top of the Western Conference table battle between Dallas and Colorado. That Victor Ulloa strike gets them a 1-1 draw. Our MLS minute coming up shortly. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC pitch side. Could you believe how long he had to set up that shot, though? I counted 3 full seconds for him to line that up.
Yeah, and even though when he released the shot, there still wasn't any Colorado player within sight of him.
And that's the best defense in the league. But Colorado nipping on the heels of FC Dallas. 3 points they trail Dallas in the Western Conference and Supporters Shield standings, but they have 3 games in hand, so Colorado been better than anybody would have expected this year. Let's take a quick trip to Salt Lake. Gordon Munson joining us here on TFC Pitchside, Salt Lake Tribune, and Gordon has had quite the week, or a little bit more than that, I guess you could say. So, Gordon, you had your credential pulled, and then subsequently given back to you, as I am reading now on the internets, and kind of just tell us what the heck happened here with Real Salt Lake.
Well, last year I wrote a couple columns that were somewhat critical of team ownership. The owner's a guy by the name of Deloitte Hansen, and over a period of time, he failed to re-sign the coach, Jason Kreis, the general manager, a great guy by the name of Garth Lagerwey, and the team president, Bill Manning. And these are the guys who built this franchise from a laughing stock they won an MLS Cup and competed at a high level for a long time. Suddenly they're gone because Deloitte Hansen mismanaged the situation, essentially. So I wrote that. And Deloitte didn't like it, and for some reason there was about a 9-10 month hang time. Next thing you know, I go to cover a game, and I'm told I am not welcome. So that's what happened, and I've been doing this for 37 years, Dan, and I've never had this before, so it's something new for me.
Yeah, I could imagine, and you know, as reporters and journalists, we do the job to the best as we see fit, and I imagine you were doing the same here, and it just on the outside looking in, it doesn't seem overly critical that Salt Lake would let those guys go, and they were all quickly given jobs. As we know here in Toronto, Bill Manning is now the president of this club. Jason Kreis just signed with Orlando, and I believe Garth went to Seattle. So all three of those guys were coveted around the league, and you know, Salt Lake was just left with the first non-playoff year in a long time. So just on the outside looking in, it sounds like everything you said was at least putting the pieces of the puzzle in place.
Yeah, I wasn't taking cheap shots, Dan. Look, I was just being critical. And I think, look, as you know, you express your opinion and you divide your audience, right? And sometimes you tick people off. Sometimes you make people mad. But it really comes down to whether, if you're in the media and you're a columnist or a commentator or a talk show host, whatever, mean, do you want to sit there and pick up pom-poms and just sort of be a cheerleader for these teams, or do you want to look at it with a critical eye, praising the team when they do well? I wasn't ripping the team back when they were doing well and criticizing them when they do things that just don't make any sense. And so that's essentially what happened here. And there's something of a neophyte owner who is not used to being publicly criticized. And he had a lieutenant that neither one of them seemed like they were very, sophisticated, and couldn't handle the criticism. So, I mean, I'm just sitting there going, okay, well, that's a new one on me. And thankfully, the Tribune backed me, and the media here, and the media nationally have been very supportive of this situation. And, Dan, I don't claim to always be right. Sometimes I'm wrong. I admit that. But usually I try to call it as I see it and just be fair about it and praise when it's there and criticize when it's there. So that's what I did, and I got the boot for it, and now I've been reinstated. I think the league twisted Deloitte Hansen's arm and just said, what the hell are you doing? You know, and they came around.
Yeah, and it sounded like that in the press release that I read from Real Salt Lake on the whole situation. As for the Salt Lake Tribune, are you guys reducing any of your coverage, or is it back to, I know once you had the credential pulled, subsequently the Salt Lake Tribune didn't cover the game that night. So is everything back to as normal as it was before?
Yeah, it is. Initially they refused to cover the team, as you said. And, now, once they reinstated the credential, they said, okay, we're back on it. Nothing personal. Just move on from there. And that's the way it should be, Dan. I don't know what your experience is, but it seems like it makes a lot of sense. Just, hey, if you're going to take a guy off, you're going to try and pick and choose who's covering your team. That ain't going to work, right? And so the organization backs me.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, MLS is – it's still a fringe sport here in North America, and large part of soccer fans, they still follow more the European game than they do MLS. And so Major League Soccer, in terms of Salt Lake, I would imagine the Salt Lake Tribune is one of the more prominent publications covering this team in Real Salt Lake. And it's a little bit different from here in Toronto, where I would imagine, because, you know, we have so many different things that we have to cover, and I have to fight for every little bit of airtime I can get to talk about TFC. So it just goes to show what a difference MLS is around North America, I guess.
Well, Dan, you bring up a great point there. And look, I mean, here's the funny thing about it. Tell me if you agree with this. I mean, when Real Salt Lake first came here, everyone sort of treated it like a high school team or a minor league baseball team or something. Nobody criticized it. We all sort of patted it on its head and scooched it in the britches and said, attaboy, whatever. You know, but once it establishes itself as a legitimate sport, then you've got to cover it just the way you do, in our case, the Utah Jazz of college teams here. So in a way, it's kind of a compliment to criticize, because now we look at them as being something authentic, and hence the backlash from ownership.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that. You know, whenever we had a discussion recently about, like, Jonathan Osorio not making the Canadian national team. And part of it to me is just like, well, heck, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have this discussion at all. So, you know, that's kind of how far it's come here, at least in Canada and North America, across this beautiful two countries of ours. As for Real Salt Lake and all that came with this, you know, are you guys, is it one of the more prominent sports over the course of the summer? Is there a lot of focus on Real Salt Lake down there during the summer?
I don't know if I would classify it as a lot of coverage, because, look, college football is king in this area, along with the Utah Jazz and NBA franchise, and those are big priorities. But Real, you know, I mean, they draw 20,000 people a game, and they seem to do all right in that regard. So we do cover it, and we take it serious, the coverage. It's not like it's some sort of joke or anything. And so that was my journalism training as a columnist. I'll never forget when I became a columnist, I don't know, too long ago for me to even want to talk about. I had a conversation with two very prominent columnists in the U.S., and both of them said, if you're going to be a columnist, have a point of view. And so that's what I always tried to do, and I tried to do the research to find out what was going on. And in this case, this guy, Andy Carroll, who's, I don't know who he is, he's a business manager or something, he said I was unfair and biased or something, I had conflicts of interest. None of it is true, you know, just calling it the way that, and the funny thing was, they thought I was getting information from people who they thought, you know, the son of the previous owners, he co-hosts a radio show in town with me. And I told him, look, I said, I've never talked to him once about RSL. All the information I've gotten about what's going on over there has come from people inside your organization and former employees. And so it's funny. We try to be responsible, try to do your job the right way, and then you get called unfair and biased for it.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I know a lot of people here in Toronto, they don't cover TFC as closely. And then when they do want to talk about them, it's usually only in a negative light. And to me, that's bias on the other side of the spectrum. So it can go both ways. But you've done a great job on this, Gordon. And we really appreciate you giving us your time and telling us your story, because it's one that I think needs to be told in the Major League Soccer landscape.
Yeah, it's dangerous for all of us to be banned and have freedom of speech impugned like that. We all just are trying to do our jobs and do it in a fair way, in a responsible way, but in a riveting, compelling way, too. And so I appreciate the invitation. Thanks a lot, Dan, and good luck there in Toronto.
At Gordon Munson is where you can follow him on Twitter. He's a columnist at Salt Lake Tribune and host of The Big Show on 1280 The Zone, 3 to 5 Mountain Time in Salt Lake. What a story, Thomas. Like, I don't know what I would have to do to have TFC take away my credential.
It would be the greatest thing for the show, I'll tell you that much, if they take away your credentials.
Did they take your credential away? Because you just so rarely come to games.
No, but I would like them to do so then I can just talk about it in, like, constantly on the show and just bash them.
It's rarely ever the right thing to do for a team to take away a credential.
It's free press for a reason.
Of anybody that may be coming and covering their games. All right, we are running out of time. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC pitch side. Let's do our MLS Minute.
The MLS Minute.
And what a week it was in MLS. Let's start in Montreal. Stade Saputo. Didier Drogba puts on a show against the Union.
Look at this. Drogba's in. He's got the hat trick.
It was actually the Ignacio Piatti show.
Yeah, Drogba had an easy hat trick. He didn't do it. He didn't
just
really,
happens.
Yeah, didn't
just
really have to do anything for his hat trick.
Piatti, once again, the engine for Montreal. And if MLS were to end today, he would be MVP for me. Is that out of line? I know he's missed some time through an injury.
Not at all, because where would they be if he wasn't in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, the record with Drogba in the lineup isn't great. But without Piatti, they are a different team. Montreal also signing Argentinian midfielder Hernan Bernadello, played with Montreal in 13 and 14, so they are bringing him back, bolstering their midfield as they are looking to win now. Montreal 5-1 winners over Philadelphia. Let's head to Red Bull Stadium, and New York is red once again.
It in. Grella, Felipe, Kleshchen on the turn. Kleshchen cutting around. Now Rod Phillips! 7 goals in 6 games against his team.
You know, I trash New York City FC constantly on this show.
Yeah.
And for good reason. Yet they're still first in the Eastern Conference. But what first place team is a -4 goal difference with 39 goals against? They're awful. And New York Red Bull always proves that point.
Except the one time New York City beat the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah.
Okay. Once.
But this rivalry is getting pretty good. Like, aside from the games and the buildup that goes into them, Patrick Vieira called out Jesse Marsh this week. Here, I'll read this for you. This is from Patrick Vieira postgame. I think today Mark Geiger made more decisions in favor of the Red Bulls because the manager has been crying all the week. At the end, Marsh got what he wanted. It didn't just happen like that. This is a plan. This is a way I think Marsh wanted to go for. He got fined for it, which means he did something wrong. You can accept it or not, but that had an impact on the referee's decisions. It's as simple as that.
He's doing the exact same thing. I mean, athletes are not, you know, the sharpest knife in the drawer most of the time. That's what we get. And yeah, Vieira's just showing his intelligence right there.
Yeah, and he also called out Frank Lampard and Andrea Pirlo for their poor defensive work in the match. That's not Patrick Vieira.
That's not why they cash checks.
Jesse Marsh mentioned that Vieira didn't shake his hand post-match and that Mark Geiger had the best refereeing performance that NYRB had seen this year. Perfect. Houston and Vancouver, 0-0 draw. David Oosted made 7 saves. Fabian Espíndola, though, not in Vancouver's lineup. He was acquired from DC last week. He's taking time to collect his thoughts. There are reports he may be sold to a Liga MX club. So interesting acquisition there from Vancouver. Dom Dwyer, he scored for KC over Seattle. Do we have time? All right.
Soucy to Espinoza. Back post, Dom Dwyer puts it away. Kansas City has the breakthrough.
Dom Dwyer in the 11 of the week. KC beating Seattle 3-0. Some may be calling for Siggy Schmidt's head pretty soon in Seattle. Just like I think with Greg Vanney, it's probably a little bit too hasty.
Yeah, but Seattle's 10 points off a playoff spot.
They should be in a rebuild right now. All their best players are well over 30. I mean, that's a rebuild team right there.
The entire team sheet, I think, was well over 30.
They may have to just tear it down. Some other notes, New England beating Chicago 1-0. Their away streak of going winless now 35 games. Columbus cough up a two-goal lead. Home to Orlando. They settle for a 2-2 draw. Kyle Larin grabbed his 10th of the season in that one. And I did throw it out on Twitter. Who you think is the MLS favorite right now? And it called it our TFC pitch side poll question of the week. 39% of voters think TFC is the favorite in MLS's Eastern Conference. Second was NYRB. New York and Montreal were tied at 16% each.
I'm not surprised.
I think Montreal might be the favorite.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that TFC was chosen by this fan base at all. Get real. Get real, please.
Sebastian Giovinco will follow up his hat trick with an appearance in the MLS All-Star Game, which goes this Thursday. And I haven't seen Arsenal's roster, but apparently producer Emil Delic tells me it's terrible. No Ramsey, no Ozil, no Giroud. So basically nobody that played in the Euros is kind of what I'm getting, right? Alexis Sanchez in Copa America. No international players.
So everyone
roster.
Why they signed this contract to play is not going to be playing.
So MLS should win then in the meaningless All-Star game. We may have a chance to talk to the commish, Don Garber. You'll know by next Monday if that does go down. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, producer Emil Delic. Thanks to Tosin Ricketts. This has been TFC Pitch Side.
Is it a show? It's getting worse before it's getting better. It's like the people got a curse. Can't nobody stay together. I watch them get my people down. Plus we're killing off each other. No, no. Ain't no justice for the brothers. No, no. See the red light behind this car. Only thing he thinking is this gonna be the end of me. See, officer, what's the problem? See, like every time I turn around, you people always messing with me. He said you look suspicious, and you fit the description of a call about a robbery. There's some more cops came. I keep my hands where they can see him. I know this can be the end of me. They say that we all created equal, but nothing about is equal. You know that there can never be no justice when killing us is legal. Somebody's gotta take a stand, sacrifice and be a man. Somebody's gotta take a stand. Nah, nah, nah. So it's getting worse before it's getting better. You see, the people got a curse. Everybody stay together. I want to get my people down. Just be killing off each other. No, no. Ain't no justice for the brothers. See, this shit is getting worse.
No, no.
Before it's getting better.
No, no.
I said the people got a curse.
No, no.
Can't nobody stay together.
No, no.
I want to get my people down.
No, no.
Just be killing off each other.
No, no.
No,
no. No, no.
justice for the brothers. No, no.